I want to tell you about one of the most remarkable women in the New Testament, but one that we know just a little bit about. We just don't seem to know very much about Dorcas. The brief story that Judy read for us just moments ago is all we know about Dorcas. That was her Greek name. Tabitha was her Jewish name. But that little glimpse of Dorcas in the 9th chapter of Acts gives us an understanding in a small way of a truly extraordinary life. Her life was the living definition of love. What does it mean to love? Look at the life of Dorcas. So great was her love that when she died, and this is an amazing scene, when she died, the believers learned that Simon Peter was just a few miles away. They called Peter to come, and they gathered around the body of Dorcas, and they were weeping, and they brought garments that she had made for the widows, for the needy, for the poor, as she had a profound ministry in the community of Joppa. They were so deeply moved that when she died, they could not accept her death. And then Peter comes, and the power of the resurrection becomes a reality. Her life was a witness to the new commandment. Remember Jesus, the night before he was crucified, he said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Kay, I learned something about Dorcas that I did not know, the Dorcas of the New Testament. Do you realize that she is the only woman in the New Testament to be called a disciple of Christ? The only one. Now, women are called followers of Christ. They're called believers. They're called servants. They're called Christians. They're even called deacons. But only Dorcas is called a disciple of Christ. She is one of just a few people in Scripture to physically experience the power of the resurrection. But there's something else that I never noticed before about this story. We find it at the end of the 9th chapter of Acts. The book of Acts is a story of how the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks down barriers. Barriers of language, of race, of culture, of religion. The story of the gospel is a difficult story because there is so much resistance. And one of the greatest obstacles that people had to the gospel was the fact there were many, many people who believed that the gospel was exclusively for the Jewish people. That it was not for everyone, but only certain people. Well, shortly after Simon Peter meets Dorcas, and obviously he is deeply influenced by the level of her commitment and her love, it's just a few days later that he has a vision on the rooftop in Joppa. The vision in which he understood for the first time that the gospel was for everyone. The gospel is for men and women. The gospel is for Jews and Gentiles. The gospel is for people who have resources and people who do not. The gospel is for everyone. And in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter said, "I see now that God shows no partiality." This morning, we as a church set aside one of our own members for special service. That's what ordination is all about. It's simply recognizing the fact that God has called someone to this special service that we call the service of a deacon. And for those of you who don't know Kay Albright, her mother's name was Dorcas. And she was just like the Dorcas of the New Testament. She lived her life in a humble way, loving and serving others. And just a few weeks ago, she went home to be with the Lord. But Kay, I know she's looking down on us today. I'll tell you some things I believe that Dorcas of the New Testament knew. She knew that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Dorcas had the conviction that the present situation is not the final answer, and Dorcas was able to look at life the way God created it to be. In fact, Dorcas had a remarkable ability to look at every individual and to see that person as God saw that person. And not everyone can do that. Most of the time, we look at an individual and we only see their faults. We see their failures. We see their sin. We see all of the things that make us uncomfortable. But there are a few people who have that remarkable ability through the lens of love to look at people and to see the best, because they believe that every individual is created in the image of God and there is good in everyone. My grandmother was like that. We used to shake our head and wonder why our grandmother could always see something good in every individual. In fact, when she died, we put on her tombstone, she saw good in everyone. And that's someone who believes that we're all created in the image of God. Dorcas showed the world that there was a different way to live. There was a more excellent way, and that is the way of love. We couldn't talk about love if we didn't look at the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. But you know, it may surprise you that Paul did not write this with a wedding in mind. He didn't write this with a funeral in mind. When Paul wrote what has become the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he had a church in mind. But it wasn't a very good church. It was a church that had problems. It was a church that had all kind of difficulties. It was a church that was polarized by differences. And a polarized church is a paralyzed church. A polarized community is a paralyzed community. When we look at our community, there are so many needs. We have such a high level of poverty, of unemployment. We have so many people who live within walking distance of this church who feel that they are helpless and who feel that they are hopeless. That's why we need to focus on love. The Corinthian church was a church that had so many problems, so many factions. There were folks who didn't even speak to each other. There were people, listen to this, and this actually happened. They would often have what we would call a covered dish meal, a fellowship meal, but there were certain people that would schedule the fellowship meal, and they wouldn't invite a certain element of the church, and they would make sure that they got there early, and when the rest of the crowd got there, all the fried chicken was gone. In fact, all the food was gone. That's one thing that Paul talked about. They had all sorts of issues. There was one group who felt that they were more righteous than another group. There was one group who felt we have more spiritual gifts or we have better spiritual gifts than you have? And Paul, considering this problematic church, a church that was just in a mess, he said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but don't have love, then I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I can give away everything that I have. And if I have not love, I am nothing. And in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul defines love for us. And this is the way he does it. I heard a story about a guy who was trying to learn how to be a wood carver. And so he went to a class. And he was trying to carve something. In fact, the instructor said, today we're going to carve a dog. And so the other people in the class seemed to be getting along fairly well, but he wasn't having any luck at all. And finally, in frustration, he said, I don't know anything about carving. What's the secret of carving a dog? And the instructor said, it's simple. You take a block of wood and you cut away everything that doesn't look like a dog. Well, you know that's what Paul does in 1 Corinthians. He cuts away, he carves away everything that doesn't look like love. Judy read from today's English version, the Good News Bible. There's another modern version that many of you have heard called the Message. This is what it says. This is what doesn't look like love. Love does not want what it does not have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force its opinion on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel while others grovel. And what did he have left? Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than self. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Love puts up with anything. Did you hear that? Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. It never looks back. It keeps on going. Love never ends. I want to tell you something. All of us who are gathered here today, we all have issues in our life. We all have things that bother us. We have things going on in our families, some very, very serious, some minor and insignificant, but they consume our time. There's some of you sitting here and you feel like a failure. Some of you are here today and you just can't seem to get it all together. Some of you are dealing with a major, major crisis in life. The truth is, all of these things that bother us and consume us and occupy our time and our attention and our energy, all of these things will pass away. They're just temporary. All of the sickness, all of the suffering, all of the poverty, all of the failure, all of the hardship, all of the injustice, all of the things that are wrong with this world, one day are going to pass away. All of the material possessions that we think are so important, they're not going to matter one day. All of our awards, all of our titles, all of our accomplishments, none of this ultimately will matter. There are only three things There are only three things that really matter: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Paul said, "Don't owe anybody anything except to love one another." In 1 John, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life when we love one another. And Jesus said, "This is my commandment, my new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." My challenge to our deacons, to all the leaders and the members of our church, is simply this: love one another. Let us be the church of love. Let us be the church so that when people walk by, they say that's where they love everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your economic standing. It does not matter your educational level. It does not matter your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. We are a church with open arms. We love you because God loves you. Let us be the church that loves everyone. And let us be like Dorcas. Let us be known for the good works that we do as we reach out into the community and we help those in need. Amen.